Grace, mercy, peace, and inexpressible joy to you on this Resurrection Day. The text for this moment of celebration comes to us from Luke chapter 24, and especially these words of the angel. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still with you in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. As far as the text, my beloved in Christ, I come to this morning's sermon with a distinct disadvantage as a preacher. Normally, when I take the pulpit, you as a congregation don't know exactly what I'm going to say or what I'm going to talk about. You know, it probably will have something to do with Jesus and sin and forgiveness and the gospel and all of that. Today, though, I feel like the cat is out of the bag running down the street and already over Highway 85. You know what today is about. You know how I know that? Watch this. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
See, now right there, I'm at a disadvantage. You already know it all. So we could really stop right here. I could say amen and amen, and we could go have our pancakes, eggs, and sausage. One apiece, please. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? Isn't there more to the Easter picture than that? For sure, that is the main thing. And as good as your self-proclaimed sermon may be, and it is good, there are more nuances to the resurrection and everything that today is about than simply that simple main truth. If we stop with this, just with that proclamation, it's a bit like coming to Thanksgiving meal and only having turkey. The turkey may be the main thing. In fact, the guest of honor, though I'm not sure the turkey actually feels that way about Thanksgiving. But it may be the guest of honor, but there are other things, aren't there, that make Thanksgiving Thanksgiving? Don't you need stuffing, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, right? Cranberry sauce, except at pastor's house because he doesn't like it, right? You need all these things to fill out your Thanksgiving plate. And so as we come to Easter morning and we celebrate with that great proclamation, that is wonderful, but shouldn't we consider all that makes up our Easter plate, all that Easter is about? And to do that, I'm going to suggest to you this morning that Easter and the announcement of Easter comes with many, many joys. And of the many joys, I've selected five that I want to share with you this morning. Five joys that come to us and are demonstrated because Christ has risen from the dead. And the first of those is the joy of exaltation, the glorification of the Son of God. Didn't seem that long ago that glory, exaltation, and joy were the farthest things from our minds. 48 hours ago, this church didn't look like this. 48 hours ago, light had become darkness. Life had ended with death. And it seemed like it was all over. And to look upon the man upon the cross, there never seemed to be a more defeated human being, ever. And it sounds, when you listen to him at the end, like he's conceding. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. That sounds like a concession speech. Like he's given up. And certainly in hell, they took it that way. The devil and his cohorts celebrate way, way too early. Good Friday night and Easter Saturday are seemingly really good days for them, you know? A while back, I was out watching ESPN. I know, shocker. But I was watching ESPN, and they were showing a snowboard race. And the lead racer was way out in front. And he comes to the very last hill and realizes how far out in front he is of all those other snowboarders. So going over the last hill, he jumps in the air and decides to do a little flare and a trick to give something to the crowd and show off in his victory. Do you know what happens next? He eats snow. Right there, crash. And the person that would have finished in second place goes sliding by, see ya, raising his arms up in victory. The devil and his cohorts have come over the last hill showboating. From Good Friday night to Saturday and even into just before Easter morning, they think they've won. But their premature celebration didn't take everything into account. They were so busy frolicking and celebrating in hell that they didn't keep their eyes open to what was happening just outside the city of Jerusalem. And it began as the earth started to shake. And tombs were broke open. And then this giant stone that had covered the grave of their defeated foe began to rock. Ebb back and forth and back and forth. And then unseen angelic hands came and pushed that stone away. And glory and light shone forth. And the angels sat to announce the news. And all is glory and all is expectation. And the darkness of Good Friday is consumed in the light. Now the joy of exaltation is proclaimed. And the women come to the tomb. And with royal and angelic fanfare, they announce, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." From darkness and gloom to absolute joy. The joy of exaltation. And it takes place because of the dark and the gloom. Do you know that? Paul tells us in Philippians that being found in appearance as a man, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the very next line is, "Therefore, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and upon earth," and I really like the next part for today, "and under the earth." Premature celebration? Oh yeah? Bow before your resurrected Lord under the earth. In hell they knew Jesus lives. So the first of the joys that comes out of this Easter morning that fills out our Easter plate is the joy of the exalted, glorified Son of God. The next joy that fills out our Easter celebration is an important one. It's because Jesus lives, we can believe and be confirmed in everything he ever said. Right? The resurrection comes to us as a confirmation of the truth of the word of the Son of God. Jesus said, "The Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, be handed over to sinful men, be crucified, and then on the third day he will rise." Well, he did. So we have to listen. And the gloriousness about that is that every promise Jesus makes to us, we can receive as absolute truth because he's risen. He's risen indeed. See, you missed that one. We can celebrate. When Jesus says to us in his word, "Since I died on this cross, you have the forgiveness of sins," you can be assured of the forgiveness. Why? Because Jesus is alive and therefore his word is true. When Jesus says to us that beneath these simple forms of bread and wine, "I give to you of my own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and for the salvation of your lives," we can believe that salvation, eternal life, and forgiveness are found in these simple forms under which lie Christ's body and blood. Because Jesus is alive, his word is true. When Jesus will say to his disciples not that long from now, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age," the church can receive that as a true and fulfilled promise. Why? Because Jesus is alive and his word is truth. One of the great joys of Easter morning is the confirmed truth of God's promises in Jesus Christ. A third joy to be found in the Easter celebration is the joy of our own promised resurrection. Jesus lives, and so shall we. There was a king whose citizens rebelled against him. They threw up arms and thought, we could take the kingdom. They couldn't. And the king's army surrounded them. And now they feared. Will he bring out his wrath upon us? Will he take us away? And they didn't know what to do, so they decided, we will send an envoy, a representative, to plead our case on behalf of the king, to beg for his grace and his mercy. And we will know that if we send this envoy and he returns to us, that the grace is, the king has heard our plea. But if he does not return, then we will know we are doomed. The representative goes to the king, and not that long, not very long at all, he returns to the citizens of the kingdom. But he doesn't return empty-handed. He returns in blessed splendor of robe, with gifts in hand, and to the royal fanfare of trumpets announcing, your representative has come back. And all the citizens of the kingdom rejoiced because they knew that the king had heard and answered their plea for grace. They too would live. Jesus has gone to death before you. Jesus returned in angelic royal fanfare, laden with gifts for his people. He has returned to you, and because he has returned, because death could not hold him, death cannot hold you. You have eternal life. You have resurrected life because Jesus has returned, because he lives. One of the joys of Easter morning is the promise of our own resurrection. That this isn't just one who is alive again, but many, many who through him are alive again. The fourth joy of the resurrection is very much tied to the third. And it's the joy only Christians can experience at the moment of the death of a loved one. It's different for us. It's different. We say that, don't we? We do not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We celebrate today our own resurrection. But this Easter proclamation and this resurrection day equip us to face death of those we love so dearly. I mourn their loss because I can't share Christmases and Easters and family dinners with them anymore in this life. And yet, I do not grieve like the rest of them. For Christ, whose word is truth, has made a promise. And by his resurrection has fulfilled that promise. And by his resurrection has given to them eternal life. And thus, they are with God. Our mourning, our sadness, are mixed with an inexpressible joy in knowing that we have eternal life. And Easter proclaims that. Easter celebrates that. You just sang about this, did you not? And I know that my Redeemer lives, the second to last verse. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. You speak about yourselves, but you speak about those who die in faith as well. And so you and I can join not only with the hymn writer, but with Paul in 1 Corinthians. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our grief has changed. One of the great joys that we place upon our Easter plates is that grief is never the same for us as the rest of the world. That there's a sadness, but it is always, always, always mixed with an eternal joy. The fifth joy I'd like to share with you this morning of the many, and I admit this is a short list of joys that come out of Easter. But the fifth that I'd like to share with you is that this joy, this Easter joy, this resurrection joy, always delivers. It never fails. It never fails. It is always joyful news. Many of the other things we kind of find joy in this life have the capacity to fail, do they not? They're fleeting. We may find joy in relationships, in talents and abilities, in circumstances, in a job we love, like me. But these things can always fail. They're earthly things. They can fade away. But this thing remains. The tomb is always empty. For 2,000 years, the tomb has been empty. And the joy of that empty tomb echoed to us yesterday and today, and it will echo to us tomorrow and the day after that, and from now until eternity. From now until eternity, this joy remains because this truth remains. Christ died on the cross for you. Christ rose from the dead for you. That will never change. This is an eternal joy. There is never going to be anything fleeting about it. You have many joys this Easter day. Many. The joy of a resurrected Lord and the exaltation that comes from that. And the confirmed word of truth and the promise of your own resurrection and the comfort to us when we mourn. On the foundation that this joy will never change. That it will be here from now unto eternity. Do you believe me? Let's see. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
See, I wasn't lying. In Jesus' name, amen.